saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of bagged concrete and mortar mixes, great for any project. Whether you're pouring a walkway, a concrete slab, or setting a post, view our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
I was 18 at the time, and definitely far from being a mature, reasonable kid. I constantly got in fights with my parents over nothing, and would make it way more dramatic than it had to be. This day was especially rough, though, and my parents ended up basically kicking me out for the day. But being the immature, stubborn kid I was, I decided to prove a point by not coming back. I didn't know if just for the night, or a few days, or really what I was even doing. I clearly didn't think it through. I was just upset. But after walking around town for a while, kicking rocks and eventually calming down, I realized the sun was gone and I needed somewhere to spend the night. I had buddies that I was sure would let me crash at their place, but I knew their parents would call my parents and make it an even bigger thing, so I wanted to avoid that. Again, I was an idiot. First place I thought of where I could be alone was this old house that had been vacant for as long as I could remember. I'd actually explored it a few times years ago with my friends, and during the day it wasn't all that creepy, just an old, empty home. Figured checking it out and maybe staying there for the night would work, even if I didn't sleep and stayed up all night. I started walking over there. It was on a normal neighborhood street, but the road was cut off years ago and marked as a dead end. Past that dead end was the abandoned, grown-over driveway that led to the house. I got there around 10 p.m. Of course, this was illegal, so I checked my surroundings the whole way there and made sure I was alone before sneaking past the gate and onto the property. It was surrounded by trees, so past that point, I was good. The house was buried in the bushes. I almost couldn't even see it until I was right up next to it, because every inch of the place was grown over, like the forest was swallowing it from the ground up. But from what I could see, it looked exactly as I'd remembered from a few years ago. The broken door that I got in through last time was still hanging open, and the inside almost looked untouched. I'll admit though, at night it was creepy as hell. It was very dark. Every other door and window was completely boarded up. I knew pretty much the moment I stepped inside that there was no way I'd be sleeping there, but I was intrigued enough to stay and look around some more. What I was looking for, I couldn't tell ya. Anything interesting, I guess. I was only in there for a few minutes, getting to the staircase and starting to head upstairs, when I heard a couple creaks on the floor I was just on. I froze. They were footsteps for sure. And after a quiet pause, I heard a door open somewhere near the side of the house by the door I'd entered from. I felt a shiver go through my whole body, knowing whoever was down there was right by my only way out of this place. I stood frozen halfway up the steps, waiting to see what happened. I still had hope that maybe this person didn't know I was there, and would go back into whatever room they were in, so I could make a quick exit. But even more eerie and unnerving than them walking around was not hearing them move at all. It was like they were waiting for me. After I think 10 full minutes, my mind started thinking that there was no possible way they hadn't moved. Maybe they went back into the room very quietly, or even that there wasn't anyone here and I just didn't hear it right and the door opened on its own. Regardless, I had to leave at some point, even if it meant running past someone and sprinting straight out the door. I quietly stepped to the bottom of the stairs and peered around the corner, not seeing anyone. Then I walked to the next corner, looking down toward the open doorway. A man stood directly in front of it, already staring at me. Before I could even react, he called out, telling me to stop where I was. It was dark, but I could see he didn't have normal clothes on. He had a uniform, which I instantly pieced together that he was a cop. "You shouldn't be here, kid. Why are you out here?" His voice was deep, but also kind of slurred. I nervously just said sorry, that I would leave right away. He stood still, like he was thinking about my answer, before taking a step toward me. "Did you come here alone?" The way he said it sent chills through me, and now a little closer, his uniform looked off. Shadows covered his whole body, including his face, but I could still tell that it didn't look right. It was distressed and loose. The man was tall, but skinny, and it looked like the uniform didn't fit him correctly, like it was too big, or like it wasn't his. I still couldn't see his face or eyes, though, which made this whole interaction even creepier and harder to figure out. I didn't know what to say. "I asked you a question. Speak up." His voice grew deeper and more demanding. I was so scared, I said yeah, that it was just me. He took another couple steps closer. "And what was it you were looking for out here?" I shook my head, like I didn't know. After a second, I could see his face move in the darkness, which I think was him smiling. And then he turned and walked toward the room I heard him come out of. It was entirely pitch black in there. He walked right up to it and leaned on the doorframe. "Come here," he said in a half-friendly, half-horrifying tone. I stayed frozen. He stood up a little taller and pushed the door open even further, telling me again to come here. Everything in me knew at this point that he wasn't a cop, not a real one. And now that he was by the room, he wasn't blocking the open door to the outside. He was still just a couple feet away from it, but I took my chances. I sprinted straight for the door. I saw his arm reach out as I passed him, and felt his hand grab onto the collar of my shirt, choking me for a split second before he lost grip and I slipped away. I sprinted nonstop all the way out of the woods and across town until I made it home. And when I got there, I found a cop car in the driveway. My parents had called the police to report me missing after I hadn't shown up home after dark and not hearing anything from any of my friends' parents. I honestly was still so horrified and in shock from what just happened that I didn't say anything. I also was scared to admit to the cops that I broke into the abandoned house and possibly ran from another officer, even though I was 99% sure it was a fake cop. The fact that those two cops never questioned me about the vacant house should have been enough to tell me it definitely was not a real officer I ran into. Because if it was, every officer in the area would have been radioed in with a description of me. Now I take full responsibility for the danger I put myself in that night, purely out of being a dumb teenager. But still, I don't think I deserved whatever the fuck was waiting for me in that room, had I assumed he was a cop and listened to the man in that house. For my first 20-ish years growing up, I lived in a very small town on the countryside. It was quiet and nothing ever really happened there. Honestly, a really boring place to live, especially as a kid, because there wasn't much to do. When I was 17 or 18, during summer break, me and my best friend Marcus had a horrible idea. Sort of on a whim, we decided to check out an abandoned place on the outskirts of town. This place, everyone in town knew about. I think it was the only truly abandoned structure in the area. But other than the exaggerated, probably made-up stories, all me and Marcus really knew about it was that it was an old farmhouse from the very early 1900s that sat on a huge plot of land. I think almost 200 acres. The owners had passed away decades ago, way before I was born, and the county bought the land but had never done anything with it. They just put up a fence and signs all around it, saying state property, no trespassing. So anytime you went on any of the roads out there, you could see this old, dilapidated farmhouse right in the middle of a field, rotting away in the distance. Bored out of our minds, Marcus and I just wanted to explore the place. Although it was a dumb idea, we weren't looking for trouble or trying to mess with the place. We both got flashlights and took Marcus's car to the edge of town, parking off the road and walking about a mile to where the farm was. We knew cops patrolled the area sometimes, so instead of walking up to it through the wide-open grassy field, we followed the fence all the way around to the back, where it was backed up to a wooded area. That way, we'd only be walking out in the open for a couple of minutes. It was actually crazy at first to see the place so close up, after having only seen it from far away for all my life. All the wood was weathered down to almost this black color, with no paint left on it, and had vines and weeds growing up the walls. But surprisingly, it looked relatively stable. It didn't look like the roof or any parts of the walls were caving in. We hurried up to the side of the farmhouse and found an open window to get in through. We didn't even try testing the front door, assuming it was locked, and still trying to lay low. I was the first one in and helped Marcus through. Then we both stood still for a second by the window, moving our flashlights around and listening. You could see all the dust in the air moving around in the beams of our flashlights. And it was silent inside. After a couple seconds, we started walking around. The floors felt sturdy, but still bowed and creaked with pretty much every step. Me and Marcus kept looking at each other as we walked around. I think we both had a deep, unsettling feeling about the place, now that we were inside of it. But neither of us said anything for the first couple of minutes, until Marcus suddenly whispered my name.
Sam, come look at this. What is that?
He pointed up at the ceiling. Between the floorboards above us, there was this very dim orange light, just barely glowing through the cracks in the wood. It didn't even really give off any light, and you could only see it standing directly under it. Both of us were weirded out, but also curious. How the hell could there be a light in here, after all these years? We should have known to just leave right there. But we slowly walked upstairs. Upstairs, there was only a hallway with a bunch of doors that I assume led to bedrooms. They were all closed. However, under one of them, we could see a brighter orange glow flickering in the crack under the door. Obviously, this was just another sign to leave, and we were stupid not to. However, what kept us there was that it was dead silent. Really dead silent. The entire time that we'd been inside, there was not a single sound that didn't come from either of us. And in a place like this, we should have been able to hear if we weren't alone. I even walked up to the door and put my ear up to it, and didn't hear anything. So I turned the handle and pushed the door open slowly. The heavy creaking sound it made filled the entire house, and my eyes instantly widened. It felt like I couldn't breathe, I was so horrified. There was a group on their knees, huddled in a circle, I think three men, and a few candles lit up around the room. Even then, I could hardly see much, just the shape of them all huddled in the middle of the room, and they were motionless. Even after the door squeaking open and Marcus and I having been walking around for the last 5 minutes, they didn't move or even look toward us. It was like they were stuck or asleep or something. I only looked at them for maybe 3 seconds before Marcus pulled me away and we both hurried down the stairs. We were running, but still also trying to be quiet for some reason. I remember feeling like every sound we made was amplified because of the adrenaline I was in. We got up to the window and Marcus quickly climbed out, and just as I started to, I heard multiple heavy thumps of footsteps running out of the room and down the stairs. I basically dove out of the window, then we made a dead sprint for the woods. We got a little ways in, just enough to start slowing down and catching our breaths, when we both heard a loud thud from back at the farmhouse. Both of us thought it was probably the open window getting slammed shut behind us, but we can't say for sure. The walk back was awful. We both had headaches from the intensity of what just happened, and couldn't even begin to piece together what it was we actually saw. Marcus dropped me off at home, and strangely, after a few days, we never really talked about it. Think we wanted to forget it even happened, to be honest. When I finished high school, I moved away for college, and several years later, when I passed by the old farm, the house was gone. I hope I did well enough at describing everything, as it was genuinely the most horrifying experience I've had, and will probably ever have. This happened while I was traveling through the West Coast, with the sole purpose of going on a ton of backpacking trips. I'd taken a whole month and lined up a bunch of trails to go on. All of them were regular hiking and camping trails, except for one. A buddy of mine, who was also adventurous and really into camping, had told me about an abandoned mining town that sounded really interesting. Now there's tons of these old mining towns all over the West, from the sporadic gold rushes, so I'd been to dozens by this point in my life. But this one was different. It wasn't in the desert or on the side of a sandy, rocky hill. This town was in the mountains, buried in a forest, which is actually really rare to find, and makes these ones almost never visited by regular people or tourists. So if you're looking for undisturbed, raw, abandoned structures, these are the jackpot. It sounded really cool and interesting, and it was only a few miles off one of the trails I was backpacking along, so it was worth the hike up to check out. And when I was done, I could just hike back down to my campsite on the trail. I got there around midday. It was cloudy, which definitely gave the abandoned town a more unsettling appearance, but it was one of the coolest things that I'd seen in a while. Because of all the time the forest had to regrow around the mining town, all of the small cabin homes were almost part of the forest now. It had clearly been there abandoned, left behind, and untouched for over a century. You could even tell that no one had really been there to visit it or explore it. There were no footpaths or trails going between the homes, and everything was quiet and still. I walked past the first few houses and over to one that was mostly intact. It even had some old furniture in it, a wooden rocking chair and some wooden shelves. I walked around out there for another half hour, and as I did, I had this really creepy feeling looming over me. The kind to get me to swivel around and keep checking behind me, like someone could be lurking around and watching me. But it was easy to tell myself that it was just the creepy nature of being alone in a forgotten mining town. It was far more unsettling when it was deep in the forest, rather than on an open desert hill like almost every other one was. When I eventually got to the end of the town, there was an opening in the trees, and right in the side of the mountain was an opening to the mine. It was kind of insane how instantly dark it got in there. From standing outside, I could see maybe 5 feet down the tunnel before it was blackout dark. Before entering, I stood at the opening for a minute. There was this sound coming from inside the mine. This low, constant, almost deep rumbling sound, like something echoing through the entire tunnel system. It was incredibly unsettling, like I could feel it resonating inside me the closer I got to the entrance. It gave me a feeling of dread that actually really freaked me out. My eyes also felt strange the longer I looked into the absolute darkness. It was like they were trying to focus on something, but it was so dark, I think they started making up shapes in the blackness. I only took a couple steps in before my whole body stiffened up and wouldn't let me go any further, so I quickly turned back and left the tunnel. I hurried back through the abandoned town, constantly looking over my shoulder at the entrance to the mine, with that feeling that I was being watched growing stronger. I didn't bother looking around anymore, making my way back to the trail where I had set my camp up at. There was only a couple hours of daylight, so I made food and prepped everything for tomorrow's hike, then got some sticks for a campfire and lit it up. I didn't really try to rationalize the sound or the feeling that I had over there, and more so tried to just bury it and forget about it, knowing it would be dangerous to let the paranoia set in right before the sun went down. I sat by the fire, poking the flames with a stick, and listened to the calm forest around me. I'd guess about 2 hours went by, and the forest became far from calming. I started hearing animal sounds, which on a normal day I wouldn't think twice about, but that night something seemed off about it. Specifically, there was this one elk somewhere close by that would bellow every few minutes, echoing through the whole forest. It didn't sound like it was moving. It was always from the same spot behind me, somewhere in the general direction of the mining town. It gave me a chill every time it sounded off. But then, after a while, it just stopped for maybe 15 to 20 minutes. The silence got me back to being in my head, thinking and reflecting, but all it took was a sudden sharp snapping sound to get me out of it. I shot my eyes toward the noise. Somehow, my instant first thought was that someone followed me back to my camp. I don't know why, because I never saw anyone or had any reason to believe that, but it was like I knew it in my gut. Something was wrong. I stood up and tried to look as intently as I could into the dark, but after a few seconds I said "fuck it" and started to pack my things. For the whole 5-ish minutes that I was packing, nothing happened. No more noises and no sightings. I trust in my gut though, and out there in the backcountry alone, you really can't afford to ignore those feelings. I strapped everything up, put on my headlamp, and kicked dirt over the fire to smother it. The moment the flames went out, I heard a set of footsteps sprinting toward me from right where I'd heard the snap sound. My headlamp didn't reach nearly far enough to see anything, so after a second, I just turned around and started running down the trail. I ran for a while, but I never heard whoever it was follow me onto the trail. Seemed like they stayed back after I ran off. I honestly couldn't believe my gut had been right the entire time. Someone was out there following me and watching me that whole time. The trail down wasn't too bad, but on no sleep, it was harder than it should have been. I got back to my car by early morning and got out of that forest. I told my friend, the one who had mentioned the place, about what happened. He sort of thought I was crazy, although he said he never actually went up to the tunnel that led to the mines, nor did he camp near it afterward. But he also said that the elk I heard might have been calling out because it saw someone in the forest, and was using it as a territorial call, which, come to think of it, probably should have been my sign something was wrong and to leave. Whatever the case, that mining town is probably best left alone and forgotten.